that you speak and not me, that I'm open for correction. And Lord, sometimes the most difficult things to do are the most simplest things. And tonight, Lord, we look at and we assess our ability to listen to others. And we just ask you grant us a humble heart in this area. Teach us to be teachable. Teach us to be willing to see where we go wrong in this area. In Jesus' name, we say this, amen. Before we continue, I want to just welcome Pastor Joshua. Pastor Joshua, would you stand? He's one of our three therapists. We have Mansi, who's in Australia now. Magdalene, who does marriage. He's a trained therapist and one of our ex-pastors. He handles some of our cases. Any one of you who has issues that require professional therapy, Pastor Joshua is available just for discussion. Okay, I want to just show you a bit of the poll. Why don't we just go to the PowerPoint? Just go PowerPoint. All right. Go to slideshow. Slideshow, huh? Okay, so I want to just go to look at, just go to first slide, maybe, John. All right, slideshow, huh? Can we get to slideshow? PowerPoint slideshow, can or not? Oh, website, oh, okay, sorry. All right, let me just show you where we are, and I want to show you the results, okay? The first one we did, how do you rate your listening skills, 3.4, all right? We have a polling of 200 people done. So this is fairly comprehensive. Of a church of 600 people, we have 200. That makes it about 72 over 100. So that's a score of about B, all right? So how do you rate yourself as a listener? 72 out of 100, all right? Let's go for the next slide, okay? How do you rate FBC as a listening church? It's 3.1. That's 62 out of 100. That's a C, yeah? That has drastically shifted the demographics, yeah? In simple English, the diagnosis on FBC as a listening church is, in simple English, above average. Above average, all right? Next slide. How do you read FBC's leaders' listening skill? That one we all kena. Me, Peter, Yiden, all leaders. We are also at 64 out of 100. That's an indictment on us again. All right? Next slide. How do you read FBC's listening church to those who are hurting? 62 out of 100. Now, why am I telling you this? It means that there's actually a lot to be done. We are above average. And I think it shows a bit of the pulse of the church. So tonight we're going to really look at this and let God ask us how we can at least go from a C to a B. I'm not asking too much. We don't need to be A, but at least we should be a B, right? Last one, last slide we did, do you think God listens to you? Boom, everybody went, wow, everybody very. So actually, we didn't phrase this question very accurately. We're going to rephrase it now, and we want you to take out your handphones, and we're going to do another poll, all right? All of you know how to do it, right? With Mentimeter, all right? And John is going to put up the Mentimeter. Use the code. The code is 980119. What do you think God feels when He listens to our prayers? That was actually what we were really trying to say. What does God feel when He listens to your prayers? Please, displease. Let's take a few minutes to just do a poll on this, and then let's see where the results come. If you're new and you don't know how to use Mentimeter, raise your hand. One of the facilitators will come to you. You just need to Google the word in there, you get the number. Okay, I think we should stop in a short while. It looks like majority of you feel that God listens to your prayers. Wow, it's quite high, you know. God listens. That means you are saying there's a B score. That means most of you are of the view that when you give a prayer, now we understand God listens to your prayers, whether they're good or bad, God listens to your prayers. But you are all of the view that God is pleased with your prayers, you know. Now let me read this to you, and it just comes from James chapter 1, okay, and you don't need to turn to it, and it's about asking and God listening. James chapter 1 verse 5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. That's God listening, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Then verse 6, but when it asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a man of like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded and most unstable in what he does. That means chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 shows you God is not pleased with some prayers. That's one. Now, James reinforces this in chapter 4. Chapter 4, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's an indictment in the book of James. That means as far as James is concerned, quite a significant number of Christians, their prayers, God are not pleased with. But when you look at the poll, most of you think God's pleased with you. Now, on the other hand, when we ask if people listen to you, you give a C score. So there's a dichotomy between what you feel about yourself and God and what you feel about other people. So today we want to really go into that, and we're going to go to the slide now. Now, I want to just give you a little bit on the book of James. We're going to take a very famous verse on the book of James. But let me ask a question if you have the book of James in front of you. And this is a side point, but it's quite interesting. How many times is Jesus mentioned in the book of James? If you have the Bible in front of you, you can just do a scroll. 5 chapters. It's an interesting point which Martin Luther picked up. How many times is Jesus Christ mentioned in the book of James? This has nothing to do with tonight, but it's something interesting in the way we do our sermons. Anyone want to just throw a number? Anybody? You realize one thing, right? When you look at James, have you noticed Jesus is not mentioned very often? In fact, Jesus is only mentioned twice. He's mentioned in chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 1, my brothers as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of that, Jesus is not mentioned. And the gospel is not mentioned. Now, that's quite interesting in what we call gospel-centered preaching, because it's very gospel-centered, but Christ is not mentioned. Okay, I'm going to just give you a bit of context of James, because this is very often missed when we look at the book of James. James was written very likely to a Jewish audience. Most scholars believe that, and it was probably after Stephen was martyred in the book of Acts. After Stephen was martyred, the Jews are scattered. How do we know that? Look at the beginning of the chapter. James, the servant of God and Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. That's your context. The context is people who are scattered. And what are they facing? You find it in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. So it's a scattered people who are facing trials, and you find later temptations. And James is a strange book. In this short 5 chapters, he's got 60 exhortations. It's like the Sermon on the Mount. So people tend to read it in isolation because he's saying so many things, like everywhere. So what people don't pick up is the main theme of Book of James, and that is very critical to the context of what we're going to speak on. It's a circular letter, and it's about believers who don't have deeds. They call themselves Christians, but their behavior doesn't show it. So this is something we all struggle with. Okay, best speech given by father of the groom on wedding day. This comes from the plan. This is what David Lim's father said to him when he got married. He said, David, I only have one advice. When your wife wants to talk, just shut up and listen. Which is why I will now let your mother continue the speech. I said, David, yeah, that's really got to share that, man. Okay, some context, just to give you a little thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel, they asked through the prophet Samuel, they asked for a king. Samuel pleads with them, no, don't. God is your king. And verse 19, the people refuse to listen to Samuel. No, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations. We will king to lead us to go out before us and fight our battles. Today we're going to look at root and fruit. Fruit is, what's the problem? We want a king. It's not a sinful desire, right? That's fruit. But there is a root. And the issue here is this is why they don't listen to Samuel. And this is why a lot of us have a problem with listening and we don't recognize it. We cannot see the behavior and what is underlying it. So to them, it's a very simple request. You want a king. That's a fruit. But the real root is this. Then we will be like all the other nations. That is the issue. Because Israel is not meant to be like all the other nations. They are to be unlike the other nations. They are to be a royal priesthood. They are to be set apart. So there is an issue here. The issue is not them wanting a king. They are basically rejecting God as king in their life. So I want you to pick that picture, because when we look at hearing, which is the foundational issue, I think, of a lot of problems in the church and a lot of problems at home, I will tell you that it begins with this. It's got to do with we wanting to be kings in our life. I want us to take note of that. And I humbly suggest to you, a lot of our personal problems in our marriages, personal problems with our children, personal problems in church, begin with this. And we only see the fruit, we don't see the root. So I want us to go through that now. This very famous verse in James, okay, which is quoted so often, which is found in verse 19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Everyone knows this verse. And the common interpretation, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but I want you to look a bit deeper, is simply this. When someone talks to you, you should listen attentively. Listen quickly. And then process it. Don't be reactive. And then speak slowly after you consider. And then if they say things that you don't agree, you don't react. There's nothing wrong with that. My question to you, is that what the text is saying? Because here's a saying by Viktor Frankl. He's a famous philosopher. Between stimuli and response, there is a space. You find this quoted in Stephen Covey's book. In that space is our power to choose a response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Self-help management books all quote this. And if you're not careful, we will look at this famous text about listening in that same line. It's a self-empowerment issue. What's the problem about listening it to interpreting this verse in that way? Very simple. You don't need to be a Christian. I don't need to be Christian to appreciate, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's common sense. That is the problem with this interpretation. It takes God out of the picture. It's a self-help interpretation. So I want us to go through the text and look carefully what exactly is James saying. I gave you the context. The context is a people who are going through trials and temptations. That is the context. James writes a letter to pull them back. That is the intention. Now let's look at the context of it. Huh? And if you have your Bibles, please turn to it. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this, that very famous verse, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, but after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Firstly, let's look at what's the key theme here. The key theme here is the sin of speaking wrongly. And that's actually found throughout the book of James. Throughout the book of James. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, all right? And then, 6, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues. So you know the two verses connected is about speech. And he brings this up again in chapter 3, taming the tongue. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. He brings it up again in chapter 4, verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. He brings it up again in verse 15. Now those of you who say, today, tomorrow, you will go to this city and spend. That is boasting, slandering, boasting. The tongue, very small, cause a lot of trouble. The sin of the tongue is the issue. So here's the simple thing. Before we go about what we say, we start off with what we listen. That is your fundamental. You sort that out. You saw a lot of your problems in your life. It's like this. What you listen, what you say, what you do. You see where we're going with that? And so James goes with the root. The root is what you listen. Your problem is what you listen. And you process that wrongly, what you say goes wrong. What you say goes wrong, what you do goes wrong. You see that? It's a simple wisdom. There's a simple wisdom. Now here is the key part which you've got to ask yourself. The question is, who is he referring to when he says everyone should be quick to listen? Quick to listen to who? Quick to listen to what? Now look at verse 21. He says, therefore, meaning it's connected, you know. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you. What's that got to do with being quick to listen? You see, the context is important. And the context, if you your Bible, it comes before that. Before that, he uses the same word. In verse 18, he chose to give birth through the word of truth. So that's the word. The word is there again. Then, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. So here's what I suggest is the context. The context when everyone should be quick to listen, he's not referring to listen to another person. What is he referring to? He's referring to listening to the word of God. That is where a lot of sermons online go off, you know. It's contextually out. That's why it makes sense in verse 21. 21, get rid of all moral filth, evil that's so prevalent, accept the word. You accept the word, and that's why you must listen to the word. And then he reinforces it in 22. You don't just listen to it, you do what it says. You see where it goes? Listening, hearing, speaking, doing. Take your time to listen and learn. Take your time. And then be slow to speak. And then slow to anger. So the context is this. Before we talk about listening to others, the question you and I have to ask ourselves is simply this. Are you listening to God? And the Mentimeter score is very telling, you know. You all think you listen to God, you know. But you all think people don't listen to you. Have you noticed that? It's a 78 score on listening to God. No, God is pleased with me. It's a 62 score on church leaders listening to you. Have you noticed that? That's a dichotomy. This is what the text is saying. You misunderstand. Very likely, you and I are not listening to God. And that is why we find people not listening to us. That is what James is saying. Now, why do we need to listen to ourselves? He gives you the reason. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, this is what obedience is like, someone who looks at his face in the mirror. It's a fantastic illustration. It's called the man in the mirror illustration. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see, what the word does to you, it reveals your sinfulness. And what James is saying with regards to your speech and your hearing,
He wants you to look intently and realize, these are my faults in listening to others. These are my faults in listening to God. And if I keep looking at it, I would then take step to do something about it. That's why it says, do what it says. Other than that, you forget. So here's the first diagnostic. The first diagnostic is, you need to find out what are your flaws in listening to others. That's the first thing. Then the second part is this. He then goes to what real religion is. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. You can be involved in any ministry, lah. You can do a lot of things. You got loose mouth, that's it. That's it. And sometimes it's very tragic. I have people, and I struggle with this. I'm not a moral good example, but sometimes you find some people, they come up to you, you didn't ask for the opinion, open their mouth, they were just taro somewhere else in church. Yeah, no, Pastor Ling is like that, lah. Pastor Leon is like that, lah. Yeah, didn't ask you for that. This is what this verse is saying, you know. Those who consider themselves religious, you could be a ministry leader, but you don't keep a tight rein on your tongues, deceive yourself. That's what he's saying. Then he gives you the context of that religion, the context of religion that God our Father accepts as pure. He gives two reasons we will study. One, to look after orphans. Why that? Because the tribes are scattered. People are going through trials. It's a metaphor, not, it's basically an example of people who are suffering. Widows suffer because widows have been scattered and they are going through trials. And he gives you another reason. He says, keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Do not let what we feel about the world come into the way we think. So let me give you three propositions on listening. And we are doing in what we call an integration approach to this, meaning we're taking scripture, we're taking what research is showing about listening, and we're integrating it. You find this actually in a lot of secular research. They'll tell you listening comes in a leveling. There are three levels, macro to micro. I'm going to give you the biblical proposition. The first proposition is level one is called internal listening. You listen to not your voice. The secular world will tell you to listen to your voice, but we know we listen to what God is telling us about ourselves. That's level one. And this is where we fail. This is why you and I have problems with our wives and husbands. And we can be very active in church and we can know our Bible, but this is your fundamental problem. And this is why people in church fight. And this is why in church we have abuse cases and no one talks about it. Sitting here, there are people who are having that. They beat their husbands, beat their wives, beat their children. They will not talk about it because this is the fundamental problem. I don't know how to stress this, you know. We all have this issue. So he tells you this and uses the man in the mirror because people tell you got a problem. Yeah, 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 got a problem. Yeah, yeah, afterward, forget already. Why do you forget? Because you repeat the same thing. And so God, Jesus pulling you back to the mirror. I want you to not walk away from the mirror. This is who you are. Until he breaks you. That's level one. You don't audit yourself, you're not in a position to help people. This is very damaging, but very critical. And I want us to really pick this in. Level two is focused listening. We call this empathetic, or listen with empathy. Meaning you go to a person where his pain is and don't expect him to come to you. Listen intently. You go to the widow. You go to the widow. And you listen to the widow. Because you understand now the pain of the widow. And that's why James ends the last part of the book of what? He says it in prayer. He says in prayer, he says, therefore confess your sins to each other. Do you think you will confess your sins to another person in church? Most of you won't. You know why? You think the other guy doesn't listen to you. Or if he listens to you, he's going to judge you. Because we do not listen with empathy. That's the second layer. And the third layer is gospel perspective listening, or basically people call it perspectival listening. Again, you will find this in secular teachings. You listen in a context. and listening to others in the context of what God commands through Scripture. And what is the context here? He gives it to you. The context is actually, A, to keep yourself from being polluted by the world, but the larger context is you are a chosen people. You have to behave like that. You have to glorify God through your listening. Okay, we have gone through this. Let me give you what level one does. You have to ask God. You try imagine yourself the man in the mirror. That means you go back, you stare in the mirror, or you go back and pray. And you ask God this, what is your sinful tendency? We all have it. Now, research will tell you, everyone in this room is in three categories. And I will show you this. I have no time to go through the data, but this is. The first is, we call this people who like to give advice. So if I tell you I got a problem, I say my office recession, I got locked, I'm struggling to keep afloat. Then you just say, oh, retrench people lor. Wow, kam kantan ga. It's instinctive, you know, it's instinctive because it's in your heart wired that way. My kid spends too much time on the computer. Switch off his computer lah. Now, where is that coming from? Likely the root of it is because your background or your work drives that. If you're from a management position, work, you're used to telling people what to do, ma. So you go home, you do the same thing. You see where we're going with this? There is a root to this. The second is information gathering. One is leopard law. You like to dig, really, wow, she did that to you, Why, ayo, so long, You actually it's irrelevant, but you just want to find out. Dig, KPC law. I don't want to say women have more of this issue. It sounds very sexist. But some of us have that. We just want to find out. And then we like to give all sorts of meandering stories. And there's a reason for that. Okay, the research will tell you a lot of it is because it's an evasive thing. Here's the third one is critical. The next poll we're going to do for FBC is we're going to ask everybody, is FBC a critical church? Wow, see, thank you very much. But you see, what I'm trying to say is that it's very easy to point, but we point back at ourselves. Let's have some humility. And I want to suggest all of us are in this category. If you don't do that, you are self-deluded. Because the research all shows you this, and we're going to do an exercise later to figure out which category you go in. Your breakout group, we have questions designed, we will flush you out, you know. The way you respond, you would find out who you are. So that's something for you to look at. All right, now, I brought this out. If you were ever in my earlier class, basically this was something developed by Redeemer Church. Redeemer Church uses basically a cycle of knowing yourself. Let me just quickly do to you. Your past pushes this. If you had a very bad childhood, something happened, you had a trauma, a suicide, a beating, something really bad, it affects what you listen because certain things become a trigger mechanism. You don't want someone to tell you certain things because it affects you. You don't want to know. And you will interpret the past to yourself. Now, what we're looking at today is the reactive emotion side because these are your trigger. The next talk we do, Pastor Joshua will do, we go and look at basic emotions. But we start off by hearing, because hearing is how you interpret the world around you and interpret yourself. And you sometimes cannot hear God whispering to you. So this is the one I talked just now. Therefore, confess your sins. Why is it nobody does it? Because if I come and tell you, I have this struggle, I have this addiction. Oh, really? You're a church leader some more. You know, wow, you got this problem. Does Peter know? You know, I'm not going to tell you my problem because tayak leopard. KPC, you know KPC, you like to give advice. You don't give advice, you criticize. You follow where we go with that. Now, that is the root. Now, what we're now going to look at is we're going to look at the fruit. You see, there's a fruit to it. And so, I'm going to give you some sampling of the fruit that people all have. And it comes in this line, the key verse, which is what James is saying. Number one, are you slow to listen because you have short attention span? This is my sin. You ask me, I go, actually, I'm not really listening to you because I'm thinking of 101 things. So some of us have this. This is fruit. It comes from a lot of reasons. A, you're stressed. B, you got too many things. But there's one. This is the fruit. Just now at level one, we look at root. Now we look at fruit. Here's another one. You really don't care. You really don't care. Here's another one. You cannot pick up non-verbal cues. Now, here's classic. You're in a small group, your life group. Non-verbal cues means you listen to things that are not spoken.
Body language?
Yep. But it doesn't even have to be just body language. It's certain things people do that suddenly show there is a shift in their normal behavior. So they're always in a certain behavior. Suddenly on that day, their behavior is different. Or they're always saying certain things. Suddenly on that night, they say something which is not normal. Now, you could respond in a whole many ways, you know. You could say, hey, please, hello, don't disturb the Bible study, you know. We're having Bible study. Why are you yelling? Why are you yelling? Can you go out? You could do that, right? The fellow's never going to come back. So you have to pick up non-verbal cues. And there's a classic story in Elijah on this, and we're going to use that as a case study, where God picks up the non-verbal cues on Elijah's body language. And here is, this is my problem also, you think you know the issue. A lot of people listen simply because they want to talk. And my problem is, you ask number one thing about Arnold's problem, he will always interrupt you. They said people always talk to me, Arnold, let me finish. Because I'm very kanchong one. Fighty. I want to tell you already because I think I know the answer. Let me tell you where that comes from. For myself, it comes from a self-righteous streak. That's why I got a wife. Because my wife never failed to remind me, you don't be so self-righteous, Arnold Lim. That's why God gave wives. She's right. It's a lot of humility to accept that. People who know their Bible very well, people who are very successful in life, people who have done very well, all have this issue without fail. It's either Bible knowledge or you made millions of dollars when very young or you have that problem. So this is fruit. And lastly is trigger. You have an addiction nobody knows. The conversation moves to that. The trigger is affected, ma. So you try to pull the discussion away. Classic case of this woman, the Samaritan woman, because Jesus boxes her in. You got five husbands. Very smart, ma. Wow, you're a prophet. Let's talk about the theology of worship. She shifts conversation because it's uncomfortable. This scripture is beautiful because a lot of this is found. So we all, every one of us, have some of these symptoms. And I suggest tonight what we want to do is pull this out. Pull this out so that we become better listeners. They're all very uncomfortable things to do, but before you disciple other people, we all must have the humility to disciple ourselves. Either that, when you talk to other people, this is the third problem, is actually self-actualization. I'll give you a simple example. I'm going to give you a few. The issue isn't pro-life or pro-choice. The issue is if you're pro-life and you look at someone pro-choice and you get very upset is, have you put yourself in the shoes of a woman who got raped and had a child she didn't want? That's the point. Have you gone to her to say, yes, we are on the opposite side of the camp, but you got raped, you got a child you want to abort. I may not agree with it, but I feel you. Here's another one. You suddenly discover your daughter or your son is gay. What do you do? You know what most Christians do? You are on the road to hell. You are damned. I know this because I speak with some people who are like that. How many of us will actually sit down and say, why are you like that? Have you considered some people become gay because they were bullied in school? because they had bad relationship with men who abused them, so they went the other side. But Christians don't even bother to ask. They throw the book at you, you're a sinner. This is our problem. We lack empathy. We lack that ability to go in now. There are three layers of empathy, and now we're going to go into integration theory, right? And this is taken from one of the most well-known writers on listening, heavily researched. People tune out the speaker. They're either daydreaming, forming rebuttals, faking attention, or more interested in talking than listening. Once someone is finding fault, being judgmental, close off, breakdowns in relationship, and poor decision-making occur, the speaker listening is more likely to move into the flight or fight mode. This is called level three. Can I suggest to you, in all humility, a lot of people in FBC have this issue, including myself. Here is level two. Listeners mainly listen to words and the content of what is being said, but they fail to understand the speaker. They forget that words don't communicate. It's the meaning and the understanding of words that create effective communication. For example, level two listeners zero in on words. Many times they miss the intent because they neglect to pay attention to what's been expressed non-verbally through tone of voice, body posture, gestures, facial expressions, and eye movement. As a result, level two listeners hear what the speaker says, but make very little effort to understand the speaker's intent. This leads to misunderstanding, incorrect actions, loss of time, and a variety of negative feelings. I want to tell you this happens, you know where the most? In marriages. In marriages. In addition, because the listener appears to be listening by nodding his head in agreement and not asking clarifying questions, the speaker may be allowed to false sense of being listened and understood. I know this because my wife always says I don't listen to her. She's right in humility, and a lot of these symptoms I have. Now, this is what we want to move at. If we'll do the exercise on this later. Listeners look for an area of interest in the speaker's message. They view it as an opportunity to gather new and useful information. They're also aware of their personal biases and attitudes. This is what you need to do. They are aware of their bias and attitudes. And I suggest humbly most of us don't. If you're humble enough, we all don't have this. We go in barging and we shoot from the hip and we forget that God is saying, look in the mirror. And that's why people fight. That's why in church we have the problem. We're able to avoid making automatic judgments. People in church are not reflective, they are reactive. About the speaker and avoid being influenced by emotionally charged words. They strive to see things from another point of view. That's empathy. Avoid advocating a position. This listening behavior allows them to tap into their higher creative intelligence. Level one listeners also try to anticipate the speaker's next statement to mentally summarize the stated message, question, evaluate, or said, and to consciously notice non-verbal cues. Their overall focus is to listen with understanding, respect. And we have the notes for this if you want us, our team. Now we've gone through that. Level three listening. Now here's a few things which I think we need to look at. Number one, are you listening because comforting others is your identity or your idol? You're listening because you want everyone to know you're caring. It's an idol, you know. It's not a gospel purpose. It gives you meaning. Number two, you're not listening humility. Three, you're listening to empower the person to depend on God or to yourself. And this way, we're trying to shift it to God. Now you're listening with gospel purpose and priority. Okay, I'm just going to do a quick case study. We close. Let me read this to you. This is a story of Elijah, and it's classic of listening. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message. Elijah says, may the God deal with me, be it ever so severely, by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that one of them. Now the context, 1 Kings 18, he's like Superman. He had just whacked the prophets of Baal, caught in lightning for hammer. He's the man. Boom! Everybody gets whacked. All right. So he goes back to town and everything's still the same. All the prophets of Baal are still there. And Jezebel warns him, I'm going to kill you. And suddenly this Superman, this superhero runs for his life. Verse 3. When it comes to Bathsheba, he left his servant there. That's an interesting verse because prophets don't have much things. When the prophet leaves his servant there, he's leaving everything. While he himself went a day's journey to wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under and prayed that he might die. He's suicidal. I've had enough, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He's depressed. He's got depression now. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now he spoke to God. God listen, yeah? God listen. Yeah? Now I want you to hear what did God hear. Why didn't God lecture him? God didn't lecture him. God says, hey, you know, let me give you some theology. Let's open the Bible and exegete the text. What did he do? God sent an angel. And once the angel touched him, he said, get up and eat. He looked around. Thereby he said there was some bread baked on a hot coal jar of water. He ate, drank, then lay down again. Then the angel Lord came back a second time. And then the same thing happened. Get up and eat. Journey is too much for you. He got up and then drank, strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days, 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain God. Then he went to a cave and spent the night. Now here's the question. God listened, but what did God see? God saw the non-verbal cues. What did God do? God took care of his physical needs. God could see he was distraught. The first thing God did was God looked after him physically. Now here's his issue. You will find out later, the issue with him is that he's not listening to God. He's presumptuous, you know. In chapter 18, he did all this wham-bam thing. He goes back to town, he expects the same. He's being presumptuous. A lot of problems we have with listening is that we are presumptuous. We assume. We assume of others, we assume of God. Now go on. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophet to death, the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. He's now in a pity zone. I did so much for you, God. Sila, God, FBC. I did so much for FBC. Everybody hated me. I did so much for the ministry. Nobody appreciated me. The Lord said, go and stand on the mountain, present the Lord, for the Lord about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. After the fire was a whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face, went out and stood in the mountain of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, and look at verse 14. Have you noticed verse 14 and verse 10 is identical? Have you noticed it's word for word the same? Meaning, God's empathy is so much when the first time Elijah told him, God didn't reply him, you know. So this is what God did in empathy. First, God took care of him physically. Secondly, God takes care of him emotionally. And then in verse 13, when he repeats the same question, now God takes care of him spiritually. Then Lord said to him, number one, what does the Lord do? Go back the way you came, go to the desert of Damascus, go there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Now, the rest of this simply means he's empowering Elijah as a prophet. We won't go through verse 16, 17, but basically a prophecy of anointment. Verse 18 is community support. Yet I reserve 7,000 Israel. You're wrong, Elijah. Not everybody's knees were bowed. You're not alone. Now, the process is quite interesting. So first thing first in context is when you see someone who got a problem, you have to put yourself in their shoes and look at their physical condition. That's the first thing. And the first thing God did was he's emotionally distraught. He's in such a bad state. God looks at it holistically. God took care of his physical needs. So sometimes, before we open our mouth, look at the other person. They could be medically having a problem. They could be very tired after work. Nobody likes coming after home, open the door, you just bah, 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 bah. Correct? We do that to one another in marriage, you know. Sometimes your wife is so busy over the household, go back there. Hey, why you never do this? You follow me? Your wife is tired. So the first sin we often do is that we don't look at another person's physical needs. Sometimes people are stressed. They are tired. Second thing, what God does is God shifts his perspective. He noticed there was first a wind, then there was an earthquake, and there's a fire, and God's trying to tell you these three are not there. Where was the wind, the earthquake, and the fire? It was when Elijah destroyed the prophets of Baal. Elijah's expecting God to reply that way, and God says, no, I'm going to come in a whisper to you. So he's trying to shift his perspective that, you know, sometimes listen to my voice. It's soft. What it means is that when you're talking to people and you're very emotionally worked up, you're so strong, you don't hear God speaking to you. When you're in a fight with your wife or your husband, or you're in a church, because suddenly I heard someone say things with me, wow, I get very angry. Really. First thing I want to go there, and, wow, I heard you say this about me. That's what we all do, right? We are reactive. But God is whispering to you, you know. God's whispering to you. And we fail to do that. Okay, I'm going to give you some examples to see where how much you all learn tonight. Okay? This is the four responses we need to have. All of us either advice-giving responses, respond people, information respond people, critical respond givers. What we want is empathy responses. So I'm going to quickly give you few scenarios, and you tell me what's the correct answer. We'll do a poll, live hand poll. Scenario one, my boss just hired a manager. I was hoping to get that post, but they got somebody from outside the company. They must think I'm not qualified for the promotion. So this is what someone's telling you, huh? There are four responses here. You must be terribly disappointed. B, maybe the person is more qualified than you are. C, I think you should tell your boss how you feel and your interest in advancement. D, what is the qualification for this promotion? What's the correct answer? Okay, let's go one by one. How many of you say A? Okay, not that many. How many of you say B? Not that many. Or this group is not very confident. How many of you say C? I see quite a lot. How many of you say D? D quite a lot. The correct answer is A. Because the guy is hurt. He's hurt. He wants you to feel his pain. He don't want you to tell him anything else. He wants you to feel his pain. He's not saying the rest of it is not correct, but this is what God did. God knew Elijah wasn't ready, so God went in stages. Feed you first, whisper to you first, then only I tell you what to do. You see that? You'll miss that, man. All right, one more time. Someone tells you, I don't know what happened to me lately. I keep making the same mistakes. My boss has yelled at me a few times. I don't blame him for being unhappy with me. Answer A, why are you making the same mistakes? B, why don't you apologize to your boss and tell him how sorry you are? C, I hate to have someone yell at me when I make mistakes. D, you need to be more careful at work. As Christians, we should give our best. Wow, how come somebody laughed there? Isn't that the biblical response? How many of you say A? Not that bad. How many you say B? How many you say C? Well, all are very smart already. How many you say D? One. Yes, answer C. Okay, we're getting the hang of it. We just do another two more, and then we'll do the breakout group. The breakout group will give you something much more complicated. This one's very simple one. I test you the simple one first. We do the very complicated one, the breakout group. That one very gray. All right, third one. In the meeting, my chairman doesn't listen to me. Peter doesn't listen to me. No point sharing it, because Peter always does what he's planned. Sorry, Peter, just example. Number one, pray about it, right time. Tell Peter how you feel. You must submit to Peter's authority. Maybe God is teaching you something. C, what kind of things have you shared? D, it's frustrating when someone won't hear it out. How many of you say A? Now very smart already, everybody. How many of you say B? Well, all very smart already. How many of you say C? Well, okay, all very smart already. So D lah, yeah, wow. Okay, I think we get it lah. I don't think we need to do the last one. Should we do the last one? Let's just finish this. This is a family example. Now, we all structured this to give you a Christian context. In my family, everyone depends on me. I'm tired of shouldering responsibility. This is real. This is real. This is something what quite few people share with me. Number one, it seems like you're feeling overwhelmed trying to help your family. B, do you have to do everything? Is there someone else who can help you? C, have a family gathering, tell them your situation. D, you need to depend on God more for added strength to take care of your family. How many of you say A? How many of you say B? How many of you say C? How many of you say D? Oh, you're not very sure. The answer is A. But you're not bad. Okay, I think you'll get the feel, right? Let me tell you what I'm trying to tell you. If you look at the Elijah story, let me recap, we close. God answers Elijah after 3 calls, you know. The first call, he talked, he didn't answer him, he fed him. Second time, he complained, he didn't answer him, he whispered to him. Only the third time, he told him what to do. You follow me? That's what we're trying to say today. You don't, every time someone tells you something, doesn't mean they're asking you to give them advice. So that we want to take that home, all right? We're going to break now into the small group. I'm going to pass it to John. John will do it. I think this will be quite fun. You break to your small group. We have quite a fair few visitors today. We're going to give you 2 very complicated scenarios. They're quite complicated one, huh? Very crafted by John and Patrick. Very devious. Let Patrick do it. I'll let John do it.
Hello, everybody. Okay. Can I have a show of hands? How many of you who are not in a regular Gamma group? Can I have a show of hands? Okay, not that many. Okay, those who are not in the regular Gamma group, can you come forward? And the rest of you, please go to your respective group. All right? Okay, thank you very much.